Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John. And you know, the symbol for the Gospel of John is the eagle. It flies high. And I'm just taking selected verses. The first chapter of John is like a preamble to the whole book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The next reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked them the personal question, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And from St. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. In our reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning, we had Jesus and his disciples heading to a village called Caesarea Philippi, and it's a fascinating place. It's an oasis in the middle of the desert, and it has a certain mysterious quality about it. Out of a cave, there comes quite a large, cool, clear stream, all this in the middle of the desert. And in that cave, there were shelves where the Romans put some of their gods for worship, and this was a center for the worship of Pan, the Roman god Pan. And it's against this background and in this context that Jesus says to his disciples, you know, "Who do people say I am? What's the word on the street?" And they answer quite readily, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus throws them the tough question, the personal question, "Who do you say I am?" There's silence, and then Peter says, "You are the Christ." And in some of the versions he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do you say I am? That's the question Jesus asks. It's a question that echoes down the centuries to us today. What do we say about Jesus? At the very center of the Christian faith, there is a person. Not a lot of abstract ideas, but a person. And I don't know if you realize it or not, in our United Church of Christ and in our congregational tradition, the head of our church is not the minister, it's not the moderator or the head deacon or the council, but the head of the church is Jesus. That's in the preamble to the United Church Constitution. Now, why? Why is this person so important? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Our United Church Statement of Faith answers that question in this way. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you, that is God, have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. Now, there's a lot there. What does it mean? I think the UCC statement begins by saying that Jesus was a man. It speaks of Jesus of Nazareth, the man of Nazareth. I had a friend who went to Israel once and sort of knew Jesus was a real person. But it really struck home when he realized he was walking on roads that Jesus once walked on himself. Jesus was a real person, flesh and blood, just like us, who lived in first century Roman-occupied Israel. And he had, you know, similar experiences to us, similar feelings to us. He was hungry. At the end of the day, he was tired. He was tempted. He knew the joy of friendship, but also the heartbreak of having a trusted friend betray him. Have you thought about Judas as treasurer? This was a trusted friend who turned his back on him. He faced death on a cross. He went through, you know, he cried, he wept when his good friend Lazarus died. This is a real person, flesh and blood, just like us. At the same time, our statement goes on to say that God has come to us in this person. God was present in Jesus in a very special way. God here identifies with us and our human condition. And that means, you know, when we have concerns, when we have prayers, we can lift them to God, knowing that God knows what we're talking about. He's been there in this person. He's gone through it himself. He knows what we're talking about. I remember, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird, I think it's on Broadway now, and the old book. It was sort of a classic everybody had to read in high school. And in that, there's this line where Atticus says, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it." And that's what God in Jesus has done. Again, he knows what we're talking about when we lift our prayers to him. We can pray with the confidence that we are being heard and understood. Let me put it this way. Many years ago, when one of my granddaughters, Emma, was maybe 4 or 5 in that area, she called on the phone. Her mother helped her. She called on the phone. And back in those days, you talked to your grandchildren on the phone. They didn't just text, so you talked on the phone. And, you know, I asked her, you know, how'd it go today? And she said, well, my friend Nancy, her American girl doll, lost an arm. And I said, well, what did you do? And she said, I sat down beside her and helped her cry. And I think that's the picture of what God does with us. You know, he sits down beside us and weeps when we weep. He rejoices when we rejoice. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, you have come to us. A God up in the sky, floating over us like the clouds, doesn't really have much to do with us or much help to give us. But a God who becomes involved in human life is something else. You know, God isn't just in the stands watching the basketball game. He's down on the boards with us, involved in human life. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us. And I think that's a key statement for us all to wrestle with, because what it's saying as well is that Jesus shows us what God is like. Jesus shows us what God is like. When we see Jesus feeding the hungry, when we see him reaching out to the poor, when we see him reaching out to those who are rejected and friendless in society, God is like that. In Christian understanding, Jesus shows us as much as our human eyes can grasp. He shows us the very heart of God. You know, when we talked a few Sundays ago about God calling the galaxies, the worlds into existence, that's a big God. That's beyond my comprehension. But here in this person, the Christian claim is that God has come to us on a level we can understand in a life lived just like us, like ours. That Jesus is the lens, the window through which we see into the very heart of God, and in that heart we see sacrificial love. In that heart we see a God who really cares for us and is willing to suffer for us. Now this is the bottom line for Christians. The God we see in Jesus is the bottom line. Whatever, as Christians, we say about God should be consistent with the God we see here. And in American society today, there's a lot of stuff about God that's often very cruel, and often very bad theology. This is the bottom line. Whatever we say and believe about God is consistent with the God of love we see expressed here in this person's life, death, and resurrection. The statement of faith also talks about Jesus, God being present in Jesus, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. That's what Jesus came for. It's often said you'd never really understand something unless you know what it's for. Jesus came to offer forgiveness for sin, release from death, to reconcile this world to the God who made it. Let me put it this way. In Jesus, we find God reaching down to take us out of the muck we've found ourselves in. Now, just an illustration. And why this is significant for me is I can remember as a child my mother saying, you know, they're tarring the roads two streets over. Don't go over there. Need I say more? Of course, went right over there. And I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to fall into that. You know, balancing on the curb. Hands and knees. My mother was not a happy camper. But this is why the following story struck me. There's a fellow minister by the name of Cowper, and he and his wife have 5 children under 9. If you can imagine that, 5 children under 9. And across the street, there were 3 or 4 houses that were redoing their driveways. They were retarring their driveways, and they had a vat full of tar. And so the mother took all 5 of the kids aside and said, don't go over to the neighbors until they're all finished with this. Don't go over there. Well, she looked out the window a little bit, and there was her 5-year-old looking this way and that way to see if anybody was watching and making his way across the street to the neighbors and to that stepladder that went up the side of that vat of tar. And of course, you never think you're going to fall in. But he did. And the mother was out there fast. And she reached down and she grabbed him, pulled him up. And as she grabbed him and pulled him up, she said to him, you know, it would be easier to have another child than to clean you up. This is the mother of 5 under 9. But you know, she did clean him up, and she got tar all over herself in the process. And I think that's a picture, a parable of what God has done in Jesus. And, you know, God says, don't go there. And what's the first thing we do? We go there. And we think, hey, there's no way we're going to fall into the tar. But we do. And in Jesus, God reaches down to pull us out, to restore the relationship, to bring us back. Who do you say that I am? That's the question that comes down across the centuries. That's the question that challenges us today. What does Christ mean at our stage in life right now? What do we believe? Our statement of faith puts it this way again. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us. That is, God has come to us, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. Who do you say that I am? It's worth wrestling with that question. Amen.